I invite the young people to accompany Lori Hansen to the pink chairs at this time. She has a special word for you, a special sermon, if you will, a chance to pray. You're going to be studying two stories. The first is Corduroy by Don Freeman. Some of you who are my age or older may remember it as a beloved children's book. And a story about how Jesus welcomes all people into ministry. So you can head out to the pink chairs. Enjoying that. Fantastic. Welcome to 500 years of Reformation. All month long, we're celebrating God's reforming spirit in the church as we approach the 500th anniversary of the time when Martin Luther affixed 95 theses for topics of conversation about the power and life of the church to the door of the Wittenberg Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Today, we begin a two-part celebration about lay leadership in the church, and that's because Reformation begins with giving power away. So up until the time of Martin Luther, all the power in the church rested with the Pope and the cardinals and the bishop, with the clergy and the deacons of the church. And after the time of the start of the Reformation, that power began to make its way out into the congregation and into the life of everyday common people. We call them lay people or laity. And Martin Luther would talk about the priesthood belonging to all people, not just the people who are on the chancel and dressed in white. So you'll notice already that Pastor Phil has taken a seat in the congregation, and I'll do that shortly. But we want to remember as we celebrate these 2 weeks of Reformation that Reformation begins with giving power away. So I want to introduce you this morning to a movement within the Lutheran Church. It's called the Way of Christ. It's a movement that began in 1949 in the Catholic Church in Majorca, Spain, and it has traveled all over the globe in all the mainline denominations in practically every country of the world, and millions of people have participated in this movement to date. And we are starting the movement here in the Lutheran Church in Alberta called the Way of Christ. What this movement is it's a lay-led movement. It's led by people just like you sitting in the pews, and it's based on five principles of Christianity. They are prayer, worship, study, conversation, and action in the world. Prayer, worship, study, conversation, and action in the world. People attend a three-day retreat like weekend. They experience those five elements of Christian life, and then they begin to take on power. They begin to take on power in their local congregations, in the church, and in the world. And so this morning, we're blessed to have Lise Wilson, who's going to deliver the sermon. Well, it's not really a sermon, sort of. A lay talk about the priesthood of all believers and about the power of the church in the lay people in the church, sharing her own life, her own experience of this journey. What we're going to do this morning is model what's called the forward. So if you think of moving forward, the forward of this movement, which is a mass gathering of people who have participated in this experience, who maybe participate in ongoing small group experiences, and it's for the wider church, anybody who wants to come. And it's an experience of how those five things work, of, I'll say them again, prayer, worship, study, conversation, and action in the world. So the way the word or the sermon section of the time this morning in worship is going to go, it's going to be patterned right after that movement. So we'll hear Lee's talk, and then three people who have also participated in this movement and continue to participate will stand in place, and they will do what's called an echo talk. And basically what that is they're listening to Lise for how what she has to say relates to their own life, and then they're going to give some response, some acknowledgement, thanking Lise for her talk, and then saying, this is what I hear for myself. And so you'll hear three talks. After that, I'm going to say, this is the scripture I hear in all of that, so I'll offer a scriptural reading, and then maybe a short clergy reflection, and then there are going to be some questions on the screen. Here's actually what we're doing. Right? So there'll be some questions on the screen, so you can go back to the other one because I don't want them to see that yet. Yep, so it's exactly what's going to happen. There's the echo speakers, Matt, Jan, and Angelique, and then I'll give scripture and clergy reflection, and then there will be some questions for you to turn to the people around you, and so you want to be ready to talk to at least four people in your group. So you'll just kind of turn in your seats. I know it's awkward because everything's facing front, but you'll turn and talk to each other and reflect upon the questions. So I'm telling you this because you also want to listen to Lee's for how what she's saying means something to you. How is it landing with you? What is God saying to you through what Lee's is sharing? So as I said, this whole thing has been bathed in prayer. The whole movement is bathed in prayer. And so a small group of people prayed for Lee's this morning before worship. And at this time, I'd like to invite Lee's to come forward and share with us about the priesthood of all believers. Welcome, Lee's. Applause is appropriate because she's super nervous. So give her your... Just let the applause be our sign of encouragement for you that we're with you and holding you up.
I brought tissue just in case. Please pray with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, with you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may be in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is living and reigning with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. If someone would have told me that I would be standing in front of you 3 years ago, I'd probably say you're crazy. But I'm honored to be here. My talk today is an opportunity to reflect on how important it is for all of us to feel a sense of belonging, to feel love, and to heal. I know there's a deep spiritual hunger in the world. I felt it myself. There came a time in my life after surviving a stem cell transplant, beating a stage 3 cancer, and then facing an unexpected divorce, I felt lost and alone. I knew God was at my side, but somehow I couldn't reach him. When my friend Jan and I would go for lunch and she would share with me the teaching that she got that week from their Bible study, I was fascinated. Wow. We could talk about it for hours. I couldn't believe how everything related to today's world. She kept inviting me to the Sunday service, but I so felt like an outsider. I wasn't worthy to be part of this congregation, but she kept inviting me anyway. So I started attending the church services, feeling broken inside. I was the last one in and the first one out. However, it is there with the grace of God that I found healing and started my journey, knowing that I was loved and belonged to Christ. I cried for weeks and for months, but I could see you smiling faces welcome me every week. I had so many questions. I didn't know anything about the Bible or the Lutheran teaching. So my dear friend Lloyd became my spiritual advisor. I could ask him anything. He never judged me. And I was truly relieved when I found out that he didn't know all the answers. Maybe there was hope for me. Then I became thirsty for this teaching. I had started attending the Tuesday night faith formation. I couldn't believe my eyes. You were so welcoming. I discovered that Dean was actually a funny guy and that Corrales was a pastor and he had such a gentle soul. I slowly settled in and attended the Bible study. I was shaking. Everyone welcomed me quickly and they became such a gift to me. I now understood what Pastor Laura was trying to say with all the circles and the diagrams that Jen kept showing me on napkins over lunches. The stories of the Bible didn't scare me anymore. Maybe I was like that lost son coming home. When Pastor Laura invited me to attend the Crecille weekend with four other ladies from our congregation, I must admit, I was petrified. But I also knew that I would be okay, that I would be safe, because I trusted her and I trusted my fellow participants. There were many different talks, but the one that impacted me the most was the laity. I have an even hard time saying it. The laity talk. I discovered how every action I make can impact others and enrich their lives and my lives in Christ. I realized that the church is a whole. Of those who are in union with Christ, it is the body of Christ and each person in that church that is part of that body. The church is the visible organization with bishop, pastors, and deacons. But the organization of the church also includes laity, ordinary people like you and me. People who may or may not realize that they are too called to God to minister as the church to the world. It is in the midst of my brokenness and through my participation in the church that healed me. I came to realize that I am included in the body of that church, and I too am called to God. I am a minister, every bit as much as the bishop, the pastors, and the deacons. All of us are ministers of the church. In Romans chapter 12, for just as each of us as one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each members belong to all the others. Knowing now that I belong to Christ, I felt a responsibility to participate, to be an apostle, and with him at my side, my possibilities were endless. Martin Luther said, we should live like little Christ, viewing our family, our jobs, churches, and community as the opportunity to bring Christ healing and reconciliation to the world wherever we are. Each person has been given mission through baptismal, and because Christ has commanded us to love one another, it is because of this that I started to see that I have a role to play. The clergy preaches, governs, and ministers the words and sacrament. The layperson, me and you, are witness to Christ and bring him into the world. When clergy and laity are following their call, the church can evangelize and Christianize the world. The possibilities are endless. All laity are called to minister the witness of reconciliation. In Corinthians 2, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When I heard Romans 10, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved, I felt a renewed hope to claim my place as member of the household of God. In Ephesians 2, consequently, I like this one, consequently, you are no longer a foreigner, an outsider. Or, let me say that again, I added a word. Consequently, you are no longer a foreigner and stranger, but felt citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself, as he is the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become the dwelling in which God lives with his Spirit. With grace God, I began this journey. I no longer felt alone, and my desire to connect with Christ became stronger than ever. I am his child, and I'm a lay person in his kingdom. As we live and work in the world, we bring Christ into the world, to people wherever they are, by being authentic. I'm able to connect now with the people in their own space without judgment and offer them pure love, Christ's love. In Ephesians 1, had a huge impact on me. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heaven realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, be holy and blameless in his sight. As I grow to understand the characteristic of the lay person's mission, I look forward to live my life along people as I bring Christ into the world. In John 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, and we are one in them, and in you, in me, so that they may be brought to compel unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Today, I walk proudly, and I no longer fear to speak his name. My potential to influence everyone around me feels like a blessing from above. I no longer put ordained person on a pedestal so high I cannot reach. Instead, I now view them as a resource to help bring people to Christ and work alongside them. Being a recovering alcoholic for almost 2 decades, I know that the solution to my recovery is to build my faith in God and being of service to others. My true journey in Christ and the person that I am standing in front of you has occurred only over the last 3 years. My connection with the church as a whole, I allow others to help me grieve, to love me, and to teach me to pray and to reconnect with God. I felt a sense of renewal today, to be authentic, loving, and worthy of God's grace. I am contributing to this church community. I attend the Bible study, I volunteer for the church services, and I am truly honored to teach Last Fusion to the children. In James 2, in the same way faith itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now I understand the different role each of us play. Ordained people teach, govern, administer the sacrament. Lay people take initiative. They too have an active role in the church. They are the source of the new life, new direction, and reevaluation. We all have unique gifts given to us by the grace of God. I see now that my responsibility to contribute, share, and carry the message of Christ. Therefore, I work with our pastor to start a program here to give everyone an opportunity to connect to God, creative nature, discover their own creativity, and create a glass fusion bowl. This has now become an annual event. This yearly gathering is open to all, and I am using my God-given artistic gift to teach the art of glass fusion to others and create a glass bowl. I help people experience the creative God at work with their own personal creativity. What a beautiful life. When laity and clergy work together, the whole church is unified and her mission can be accomplished. In Galatians 3, for all of you who were baptized in Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, neither a Jew or Gentile, nor slave, nor free, nor is there male and female. You are all one in Jesus Christ. In closing, every lay person has a unique mission, which no one else can fill. God is calling you to do the things only you can do. Because I am on his journey, I learned that for some people in the world, Christ can only be found through me. I may be the best Christian some people know. I may be the only Bible some people read. I may be the only image of Jesus some people encounter. The same is true for you. May God bless you in your journey as God and the church helps you discover your mission. Thank you. I didn't cry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt. Thank you very much, Lise, for that talk. That was, I think, hopefully very eye-opening for others who haven't participated in this type of journey before. And I just wanted to, I guess, applaud you on hitting the nail on the head, or at least as far as it resonates with me, the purpose and the importance of laity and how you have those odd people like Jan, who might be very, very persistent and very, very loving, and really demonstrate by example what it is to be a part of this community and be a part of the body of Christ. So I think that that's very great and resonated with me. Thank you.
Thanks, Lise, for being so brave. Everything you said resonated with me, and I didn't even know I wasn't feeling, and in what you shared with us is just so many feelings and emotions, and, you know, just when you bring God into your life, just how it changes for you, and it just brought up lots of emotions for me, and I'm truly blessed to be part of this community and blessed to have you in my life as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jan. And yes, thanks a lot, Lise. That was amazing. And I walked a lot of it with you. And so I got quite emotional and was reminiscing about all the times that we were together and all the times we've had a lot of fun and a lot of talks and that, and to have got to attend Curseal with you was really a gift, and we got to share the same room, and the group of ladies we went with, Hillary and Carolyn and Lisa, and we had a wonderful group of us there to share what was being taught and what we were learning, and it was an amazing weekend, and I grew, and that it has helped my faith journey to continue and to be more in depth, I think. So I just like to say thank you, and I admire you for your bravery, and I think it's amazing what you've done. So thank you.
Part of the design of the foreword is to really put the clergy on the spot. And the reason for that is there's kind of a progression to what happens in those gatherings. So we hear somebody speak, and then the three echo speakers, they actually didn't hear the talk before today. So what they're doing is they're listening to the talk and responding to it from their own experience on the fly. And then what the clergy do is the clergy see the talk before it's given. So I've chosen a piece of scripture that I heard from Lise's talk. But my reflection is really a reflection on what I heard and what I experienced as I was sitting here with you. And it's a demonstration of what can happen if you continue to pursue your faith life and your spiritual life, is that really what happens is the scripture and the stuff of life come together and you can make connections in the moment, making scripture bear on your life as it's unfolding. So that's the purpose of the clergy reflection. So here's the scripture that I heard when I encountered Lise's talk. This is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is the Message translation, of course, which is quite hip. Welcome to the living stone. This is the source of life. The workmen took one look at it and threw it out, but God set it in the place of honor. Therefore, present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you will serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide precedent. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workmen threw out is now the chief foundation cornerstone. For the untrusting, it's like a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments, to do God's work and to speak out on behalf of God, to tell others of the night and day difference God has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. This is the word of the Lord. I heard quite a lot in Lisa's talk and in the Echo talks, and oddly enough, what I heard was, this is the year 2017, and the church has been being built up since about the year 30. So we're looking at about 2,000 years of doing Christ's work in the world. And I saw that suddenly each person who had been participating in the life of the church had come and laid their lives like a living stone right on the foundation of Jesus' ministry. And they had been building this sanctuary where people could come and God could be known. And the life-giving work of the Spirit could be unleashed on the world from that place. It turns out that as people are living stones, it's not a physical place, but it's the place wherever those people have been. So, for example, Martin Luther traveled all over Germany, and wherever he went, that cornerstone and that foundation and that edifice of the church went with him. He was a living witness of God's word at work in the world through his life. And let me tell you, looking 500 years later, he looks really courageous and he looks really strong and stalwart, but he had to have been just completely scared out of his mind, because people who had done what he was doing had been burned at the stake. And he fully expected that the same would be true of him. And that's really something for us to think about. Are you willing to step out in your faith if you know your life is on the line? Do you believe in anything so deeply that you would rather die than to not speak out? That's really the witness of Luther and of this living temple that gets built up in Jesus' followers. And we can look over that 2,000 years at many people who've lived their lives that way. Most of them, their name's forgotten. They just went along silently, quietly, in small ways, doing the things that they knew they were called to do by the Lord of life. And with humility and dedication, adding their stone to that foundation. But here's what I really heard Lee saying. Now is our time. It's your time. You're a living stone, called by the cornerstone to bring your life as a living sacrifice, to contribute to the building of that spiritual house that gives people sanctuary and refuge and hope and belonging and life. This is our time. And lay people, this is your time. So I ask you at this time to consider these questions. I hope they go, because we wrote them before I knew what I was going to say. Can you give us the questions, Isaac? And turn to the people around you and just engage these questions. We're going to give you about 8 minutes or so, a little bit of time, to talk about these questions. What did I hear that I can apply to my own life? Where do I see God at work in my life? What do I think my mission in the world is? What do I plan to do this week as a result of choosing to see God at work and being challenged by this word? So it's going to take something, you know, turn around and meet the people behind you and engage these questions. And I'll give you about 30 seconds when the time is nearing an end. And I have some closing remarks, but I'll call you back as a congregation in about 8 minutes.